Thanks for tuning into Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Well, hello and welcome back to another conversation about hopefully a meaningful thing. We're glad that you have chosen to be listening in on the conversation and appreciate the opportunity to have this discussion with you and with you guys too around the table. Hi, Brian. Brian, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Brain.
Excellent. Brain. He's just so brainy, Brian.
And that is the autocomplete that happens usually. Back in the day when you had when we all had to text with the number pad on our phones,
texting.
The other autocomplete was Asian.
Asian.
Because A and B are on the same button.
Oh,
and R and S are on the same button.
And for those who are just listening and never met us, Brian is not Asian.
I am not.
No.
Looks like correct. Maybe he came from Ireland or something. So, but on the other mic, Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Excellent.
Autocorrect usually doesn't misspell my name. Usually.
Makes sense.
But yeah, man, autocorrect. You gave me a huge flashback, Brian. I was trying to explain T9 texting to somebody not too long ago. Somebody meaning somebody that was born after 2000. They were so confused, like, what? No, it was a really great way of texting. It was so fast. They're like, okay, whatever.
Did you also have to explain what a flip phone was to them?
No.
The hard thing is, man, one of the best... I legitimately never did this, but I had friends that would brag. It was a great way to be able to text without looking at your phone, meaning you could be driving one-handed and have your phone down and you didn't have to look because you just knew,
right. Okay,
you hit this 3 times, you hit this 2 times.
Yeah.
And it was all physical buttons, so you could feel around.
Yeah. I'm sure there were still some pretty hilarious mistyped messages that were sent.
Or when, you know... when we were just realizing that autocorrect was actually a thing and we didn't actually look to make sure it didn't autocorrect into not great things.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of emails I sent and like, oh, how did that end up like that?
Yeah. It wasn't super smart. One of the thing that killed me though was when texting really was a thing and the whole wave of abbreviations, you know, LOL. LOL has sort of stood the test of time. Or maybe I'm really uncool and it's actually not a thing anymore. I still use it. Emmeth, our intern, who is super cool, is nodding his head. Yes, it's still used. But
he was also born after 2000.
Yeah, that's true. My aunt didn't know what that meant. She thought LOL, which means laugh out loud, meant lots of love.
Dude, I think there was some so conspiracy
many stories about that.
That told all of the baby boomers that that's what it meant.
So she would send LOL at the
I've
most.
Everyone I've talked to.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law thought the exact same thing. She still, we corrected her, and I'm pretty sure she's just like, okay, but I'm still going to use it as lots of love.
The thing that is funny, though, is normally that's totally cool. She would send it, though, at very inappropriate times. Like a family member had passed away, and she wanted to send the news that this family member had passed, had gone to be with Jesus, and after that really sad news, she put LOL. That seems rather inappropriate, but okay.
Man. Laughter is the best medicine.
Right? Yeah.
We're all rejoicing with our loved one.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
BRB at you.
Yeah. That's Jesus. He's saying he'll be right back.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, what a terrible segue. This one may be one of our worst.
Were you headed that direction or just
stumbled
onto it?
Okay. I was thinking, anyways. Yeah.
I can help with the assist if you want. We can try to rope it in.
Yeah. Rope it in, Brian.
I mean, when you're sending a text, right, you got to send it for them to know what you're thinking. You can't really be like, hey, I thought you would just kind of figure out what I wanted to say. No, you got to put it into words, right?
Yeah.
For them to actually know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, all of that stuff. It comes, well, that's true with everything.
Especially because they're not in front of you. If you're texting them, you're generally, you're not near correct. The person.
But hopefully can't they just not. Tell by how, you know, I live and how my vibe, my general
like
vibe.
What, like whether you're using caps or not? Or
sure, yeah. But with communication, right, like that's part of it, is yeah. that you got to be able to put it into words. Words are so big for us, and especially with our faith. The words that we use are big, and the topics that we talk about. The topic for today that we wanted to focus on is about sharing our faith. Should we vocalize sharing our faith? Mm-hmm. Is there a calling to that? Are we told to do that? What about nonverbal? Could it be just, you know, how we act? Does that count as sharing our faith? So should we, and if we should, then how should we?
That's so good. Yeah. Mm.
I love this topic because I think Jesus made it pretty simple, and it's so like me, so like us, I think, as human beings, to overcomplicate what Jesus said to do. And if you're listening and you're like, oh yeah, I just get in my head, and you tuned in because you're like, I want to learn how to practically share my faith, and I struggle with that. Take heart, because I find comfort in seeing that Jesus's disciples, his arguably the people that knew him best, really struggled in this department too, of taking what Jesus said, here's what you do, and then overcomplicating it.
And they had the firsthand training, like they literally learned from the master, right?
Yeah. So we can take heart in that. So maybe let's tackle the first question that you asked, Brian. So is there a mandate for us to share our faith? Like, is it okay if, hey, I'm kind of shy, I feel super awkward when I talk to people about anything, let alone something as deep as my faith. So it's God's cool if I just keep it to myself, right? And I just, you know, I'm going to let my life reflect that I follow him, and that's good enough. Do you guys think that that's okay? Like, is that enough, or are we called to, like, actively share we believe?
Well, I think one of the things I've noticed is, as people of faith, we generally want others to share that faith, but putting ourselves on the line in order for that to happen, you know, now that that gets at our fear of rejection, our uneasiness, our like, well, what if I don't know the right answer? So I think we want that, but we don't necessarily think that we need to be the instrument or avenue for it.
Like somebody else will.
It's got to be for some other people, like, you know, the people that get paid to do that stuff or whatever.
Right,
So I think that, you know, that's part of the equation for a lot of folks. So it is the spread or the share of the good news something that is to be for all, or is it just a select few in a certain category?
That's a really good point about the I like it when I see other people do that. That's really exciting.
Yeah,
but not me. I mean, we see that all the time, the people that go, oh, I need to invite my neighbor to church, or I need to invite my whatever cousin to church so that they can hear about Jesus. Well, you also have a mouth, I mean, that's the question we're asking, is are we kind of told to share in that way? And we also have the huge pressure from the world, that we shouldn't try to rock the boat, that it's almost seen as noble to say, well, hey, like I'm going to keep to myself. I don't want to impose anything on you.
Yeah.
So I'm just not going to say anything.
Yeah. There's a lot of phrases in our culture, right? Well, you do you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what's true for you kind of thing. And my understanding, from a broad stroke of scripture is that it is the responsibility of everyone to be willing to share the good news. And that may look different and probably does look different for people in yeah. different circumstances or different opportunities that come their way. Mm. You know, some people get to get up and speak to thousands and thousands. We were yeah. talking about the Jesus Revolution movie before we hit record. Like, there were opportunities there for folks like Greg Laurie and Chuck Smith to, you know, to do that. And then there's others who share the good news with, you know, one person ever in their life. But it made a difference. It was impactful.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, I do think there are opportunities for every person of faith to share that faith with at least one other person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. I wonder sometimes if this trips people up because they have in their mind a specific way that they've been told, like, this is how you have to share your faith. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, growing up, this was probably more caught than taught for me, but growing up in the church, I grew up in kind of that movement of, like, street evangelism was, like, on the rise. It was like, man, that's how you share your faith. If you want to share your faith, you need to go out, stand on a street corner and shout at people that, you know, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to burn in hell. That was not ever, like, at our church necessarily said, like, this is the way that you share your faith, but it was sort of, I don't know, kind of culturally there. And so for a while, that's how I thought, okay, that's what sharing your faith is. It's to just go out and just bombard random people.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe for some people that's why they're like, I'm not going to verbally share my faith, because in their mind, that's what they're picturing is like going and doing that sort of thing. Do you guys think that, or is there maybe other reasons why?
No, I mean, I think that is part of the picture for folks,
yeah.
you know, to be put in a particular category that right. they don't think they're in or want to be associated with because of, you know, what our culture has come to understand that to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a certain label of churches that were, you know, very aggressively protesting veteran funerals. Mm.
Right.
And, you know, that was a broad category of churches, and not every church that would have been sort of associated with that label was that way. But then then it becomes, well, you know, we're getting associated with that. So, yeah, you know, oh, can I tell you the good news? Oh, no, you're going to be like that guy who stood outside the arena and stuck his finger in my face.
Right. Which
so,
is
yeah,
unfortunate.
I do think that's part of it.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. So I think there's got to be something else that's a key, which is missing from that type of ministry, and that is, what's the relationship that exists, and across what relational bridge are you trying to cross?
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be a part
Absolutely.
Of that, I think.
I think we've said this in previous episodes, and I think, Brian, you might have said it one of the times, of just comparing our relationship with God should be the most intimate, life-changing relationship that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, equate that to your relationship with your spouse. Like, they are the most important human relationship that we have. It would be really weird if every interaction that I had with you, you never brought up your spouse once.
Right.
And you never talked about her. You never acted like your relationship mattered to you, or that your life revolved around your relationship being foundational to your life. That would be weird.
Yeah. Or people that know you not even know that you have
right?
a spouse.
Wait, what? This
Wait,
whole time?
You're married? I've known you for 15 years. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm just doing me. You have your own spouse. I don't want to impose.
They have to know. They just, I'm going to watch by how I live my life that I'm married and just assume.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a pretty exaggerated example, but I think it rings true.
Yeah.
If how we are living our lives, if we're not talking about it with people, I would almost question, for me, like, man, is my relationship with God and I mean, if we've really been impacted by the good news of the gospel, which is I was dead in my sins. I was destined for eternity separated from God, and he saved me. Like, we have the best news that the world has ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are holding that from other people, man, I think we're kind of missing it.
You're leaning into a point that I think needs to be made, and that is that there should be evidence in our lives that either goes along with or comes alongside what we actually say, right? So if we're like, hey, can I share the good news with you? And someone goes, man, I never would have guessed that looking at your life. Like, oh, what?
Awkward.
Yeah. So yeah. I think there should be those evidences. And like you said, you know, I think the illustration of a spouse is a great one.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, you know, knowing someone for however long you might know them and them not knowing?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I never would have known you were married. Like,
yeah.
There should be evidences when it comes to faith in our lives that people, that's observable. And they would go, oh, yeah, you know, I kind of figured faith was important to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, even if they don't know the details of it. Like,
right.
A relationship with Christ, or here's what I understand scripture to say. Like maybe folks have never studied scripture, but they could look and see evidences that faith is something that's important to you. I think that should be there. And it's something that should, you know, permeate our lives so that it overflows enough that people see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's that both and. I think that's what we're zeroing in on with our answer to this question is yes. Like your words should reflect your actions and your actions should reflect your words.
Yeah.
That it's everything. If you are transformed by Jesus, that is a huge deal. An analogy I've used with youth group before is if there's something that you're like, man, like this is amazing and I don't want my friends to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
The story I used was with my wife. We lived in an apartment that had as things got warmer, springtime, summertime, there would be thousands of fireflies that would come out at night.
Yeah.
And it would be amazing. And so it wouldn't happen all the time, but when it did, like they were all just going. And so there was one night where my wife was already in bed and I turn off all the lights in our apartment and look out the windows and just see all of them.
That's cool.
And so I was like, I don't want her to miss this. Like, this is really cool. And I go to her and I'm like, hey, like, sorry, please just come. I promise it's going to be worth it. But legitimately, some of us are like, yeah, Jesus is great, but I don't want to impose. I don't want to, you know, they seem comfortable where they are. So I don't want to say, oh, like, get up for a second.
Yeah.
We're just tying it into Ephesians. Our youth group is called Awake. And that's kind of the point is that we're like, hey, wake up. Like, this is really cool. And if you've been, again, had that interaction with Jesus, a real interaction, a real relationship, you should definitely want to, whether it's awkward or not. When you were talking about it, Alex, about people going out onto the street corners and just yelling, there's the side that you brought up, Steve, like, I don't want to be seen as the people that are yelling out of a heart of hatred and anger rather than a heart of love.
Yeah.
And then there's also the people that are like, that's just really scary because I don't know what to say.
Right.
So I don't want to do that either. Mm-hmm. I think of any family get together because I'm a pastor. I am the one that's asked to pray.
So Brian,
well, we can't because we're not the one, you know, with the label. It's like no,
the pros in the room.
Correct. It's like no, like you all have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
So any of you could.
So how about that dynamic? Because I know there's folks who would say like, listen, like I'm just gonna live my life. Like I don't have to be outwardly, you know, evangelistic, or I don't have to be actively sharing my faith. Like it's not something I really have to do or need to do or feel the desire to do.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody, including God, just should be fine with that. Just let me do my thing.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
So is there anything wrong with that? And not that, you know, I don't ask that saying like people that have said that, hey, here we are, we're going to come after you, but just like thinking of the different mindsets around this idea of sharing faith. Should you, can you, how do you, you know, what would be your feedback or encouragement to a person who says that and, you know, that's kind of been their mindset towards this topic.
Yeah. I think my encouragement is just, why wouldn't you want to, if you, and this is what
to Brian's point when you were talking about, man, it just made me laugh because we probably have all been in those situations where, and that's maybe the unfortunate side of like Western Christianity. We've almost, we've made ministry a profession. So it's like, oh, they're a professional Christian. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're closer to God. So they are the ones that should be in charge of doing all this stuff. And it's like, that is not what's presented in the Gospels. Mm-hmm. Jesus's Great Commission is to every single person that calls themselves a follower of Jesus to go into all the world sharing the gospel and making disciples. There's no exception clause that I can have seen where it's like, if you are a pastor, this is what you need to do. Everyone else, you're cool. Like, live your life. I guess my thing is just, why wouldn't you want to? Like, if you have the best news that the world has ever found out about and you have that, and what's neat about that is that means wherever you are at, whether you are white collar, blue collar, a teacher, a stay at home parent, like you have a ministry, you have a mission field, you have a place and influence around you of people that you probably see every single day, and you have an opportunity to share. And I think in the time that we have remaining, we wanted to sort of share maybe some practical steps that you can take, like, because I get it. It's intimidating, especially when it's like, I just don't want to, for me, my struggle has always been, and maybe you guys can relate or maybe not, it's I don't want to misrepresent God. I don't want to say something that they're going to be like, oh, he follows Jesus, and if that's who God is, then I don't want anything to do with him. That's always in the back of my mind. So maybe how can we encourage that person that's like, okay, I want to, but maybe the reason why I haven't or have had the excuse of why can't the way I live my life just be enough? Maybe they're just scared that I'm going to say the wrong thing. How can we encourage that person?
Well, I think first of all, so scripture bears out that mentality that my life should reflect Christ. Like scripture bears it out, right? Let your light so shine before men.
Absolutely.
You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world.
Right.
These are principles. You know, you don't put a lamp on a stand that gives light to the whole room. Right. So there is biblically that principle that our lives should speak, just our actions, the way, you know, can't the way I live just be enough?
Right.
Well, first of all, scripture does say that our lives should reflect, right? That's part of it.
Yeah.
And it's a big part of it, because if our lives don't reflect what we're purporting to believe, then we've got an issue with consistency and, you know, authenticity maybe. So that is part of it, but there is another part of it too. Like, for instance, when we're instructed to always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that's in us, right? That's verbal. Like that is a conversation by definition. Be ready to give an answer when you're asked about the hope that's in you. So the presumption with that directive is that the first part that we talked about is happening, right?
Right.
People are seeing something. That's good. Your life is speaking.
Yeah.
But someone at some point might, because they don't really understand everything, but they see something that is drawing them, like, hey, can you tell me more about this? I can see that faith is important to you. And like, can you just tell me more?
Mm-hmm.
And scripture says, be ready, be prepared to give that answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does it mean we run around and grab people by the throat and say, I got something to tell you, you better listen? Probably not. But it does mean that when we're asked, we do verbalize. That's at least part of the picture there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also am reminded of the words of James, which if you don't know, he's Jesus's brother, which is pretty wild. He doesn't hold back what he says. Our faith, if it's not coupled with works, is dead. That our lives in faith should produce something, and I would argue, I think my understanding is, like, it's works mean that we're letting what we know to be true affect every part of our lives, and that would include interactions with other people and how we treat others, and I think by extension
what we share with them as well.
And works is not, just to clarify, works is not, hey, I'm going to do this to earn favor with God. Works is, what are the things that are naturally happening in my life as a result of my faith, not to try and produce faith.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Brian, any closing thoughts, man?
Just a couple. I just want to speak to the heart of the those of you listening that have thought this. I mean, the idea of, hey, like, shouldn't my life just show that I love Jesus is such a beautiful thought. I think that for us, we wrongly separate words and actions when in reality, saying things is also an action. And so it's all part of it. My big thing is, hey, you're overthinking it. You're putting too much pressure on yourself. Going back to the whole relationship thing, I don't walk into a room and go, ooh, should I talk about my wife today? I just go, hey, if it comes up, right? Like, Steve, you were saying, like, when if someone asks, you should be able to to say, we're not saying every room you enter, you yell out at the top of your lungs how much you love Jesus. You can. That'd be cool. But you don't have to. But just, it's a part of your life. Yeah. And so talk about it.
You know, one of the things that I think is a hang up for people at times is, what do I say? Like, what am I supposed to say? I don't want to say the wrong thing. What if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? Like that part of the, you know, what do I do with that? And, you know, if we just want to give some very practical advice here as we wrap up, share your story. You know, the person can't really argue with your story. You know, if they ask you a question, it's your story. You probably know the answer to it. If it's a theological or, well, how does this fit together? And you don't know, then just say, I don't know, but maybe we can try and find the answer. But, you know, in terms of what do I actually share, just share your story. How has God made a difference in your life? Yeah. And why did you choose to follow him? You know, anyone can start there.
Absolutely. And you're sharing 100% the gospel. If you can simply tell people that, hey, Jesus, I know Jesus loves you. I know he died for you. And he has a way for you to spend eternity with him. Yeah. That is 100% the truth.
Because that's what I've experienced.
Exactly.
Right? You know, this is what I know about God, and I found it to be true, and it could be true for you too.
I was blind, and now I see.
Yeah,
that's it. They say, well, what about this? Hey, I don't know, but I do know that Jesus changed me.
Yep. And I think we would be remiss if we also don't if we forget to remember that the Holy Spirit's doing the work for us. He's not asked us to have everything figured out, and we're not the ones that change people's hearts. It's him. He just asks us to be willing to share, and he does the rest. And I don't know about you guys or if you're listening today, but for me, that takes a huge weight off my shoulders to know I don't have to say all the right things. I just have to be faithful with what I know God's given me, and he's going to do the work.
Haven't you guys talked with people and they're telling you about an experience like, oh, I got to share my faith or whatever. And they're like, yeah, I don't know where that came from, but I'm like, that's what God was at work in the midst of that.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, guys, don't be unwilling to step into those spaces. You know, I think God gives us those opportunities and he's bringing people into your life and our lives that need to hear some good news. They need to know, and we want to be able to share that which we know to be true because we've experienced it. It's not like, let me share some intellectual fact with you. This is what I know to be true because I've experienced a relationship with God. And, you know, there's certainly some tools and stuff like that to help you do that. But if you're just willing to engage those conversations when they come your way, you'll be sharing your faith, and you'll be you know, a testimony for God without having to put much effort forward. I'm not trying to undersell it. I'm just trying to take the fear out of it. Just be willing to talk with people and be real and honest with them. And when they ask you, just share your story and then go forward from there. So if you've got some thoughts or got some follow-up questions on what we've been talking about today, I'd love to hear from you. It's a real simple email, podcast@victorchurch.org. It's podcast@victorchurch.org. Love to hear from you. Love to engage that conversation online or offline, as the case may be. But we're so glad that you decided to join us today, and look forward to our next time together. Alex, Brian, have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Yeah. See you guys.
See ya.